The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning. This is Vic Murata, and welcome to the premiere show of the Vic Murata Show on WTBQ. This morning's program, I have with us Chief Dwayne Perry of the Ramapo Lenape Indian Tribe and Chief Vincent Mann, who is the chief of the Turtle Clan of the same family of Native Americans. And I'm happy to have you with us, gentlemen. Welcome. And I hope that we'll have an opportunity for you to share a lot of really good information with the people who are listening to this show. So I want to thank all the listeners out there, and a special shout out to my friends on Facebook. The support you've shown for this is really exciting. I hope you're listening, because there's going to be a lot of good information. I wonder if we could start here, gentlemen. This situation faced by your people has about a 50-year history. And whichever one of you might like to start, just give us a, if you would, quick and dirty, so to speak, of the things that have happened, when, and ultimately where we would like to get to is how it's affected the lives of your people.
Well, I'd like to just take it up to where things start to become chronic and very nearly criminal. Initially, there was thoughts by Ford to put high-end housing in Northern Ringwood, where the tribal people live. When that effort failed, they began to fill the mines up with toxic waste. So
how long ago was that, Chief?
That was in 1964 when they lost the bid to actually put the executive housing in.
So we're talking now almost 50 years?
That's correct. They actually claim that they started dumping in 67, but our people live right there, so...
It was a little earlier than
that's
that.
That's correct.
Okay. So, this is... correct me if I'm wrong. This is a site that initially was placed onto the federal Superfund site, was then removed, and then at some point in time put back on, the only site of that nature in the U.S.? Is that so?
Yes. The site was delisted in 1994. The federal government, EPA, signed off. The town of Ringwood signed off. The DEP signed off. It was Jan Barry in the record that actually began an investigative thing. They literally went back out to the very areas where the paint sludge had been found and indeed found that it had never been touched at all.
So, if I may, when it was delisted the first time, what had taken place at that point? Was there any remediation? Was there anything done on the site?
Yes, I don't remember the exact amount of material that was pulled out, but there was remediation done, and they made, you know, to them it was cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
But then, from what Jan Barry discovered, as well as Bob Spiegel from the CAG, was that this material was still there. It took 12 years for it to be relisted when it should have never been delisted in the first place.
The CAG you mentioned. Could you tell our listeners what that is?
The CAG is a citizens advisory group. There's actually a lot of them in the state of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that it was created so that when the EPA and Ford and the town of Ringwood and the DEP came with all of their technical information, that the CAG was created, was supplied with a TAG grant, a technical assistance grant, so that the information they were giving us could be given to us in a language that we could understand.
Okay, I see.
I'd like to add that recently that very same grant was removed so that there was no capacity by the CAG members to obtain professional insight.
Yeah, that's
into the
correct.
Situation.
How recently was that?
Well, within the last, 6 months or something like that.
Okay. I got interested in your situation some time ago, but it really came into focus for me on March 1st,
mm-hmm.
when I was invited, in fact, to attend one of those CAG meetings in the Ringwood Town Hall. And I had an opportunity at that point in time to see and hear some things that it moved me. And I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And if I may, whichever one would like to pick up from here. How about you go on with the story as to what's happened?
So, you know, there was a delisting and then a relisting. During that relisting of the Superfund site, the health aspect of what the EPA is supposed to do, right, is to protect human health and the environment. Mm-hmm. The very first part of that is the health part. We've struggled with the EPA, the ATSDR, the New Jersey Department of Health and Senior Services to actually do an adequate health survey. And I think there's been four or five. The last one, we had a meeting with the New Jersey's Health Department. They came to our church. They took down all of our concerns and our wants and everything to do a new health survey, which would be more in tune to a community involvement one. And so they were supposed to come back because we were the ones who held the information about cancer deaths and premature births and defects and the like and other diseases that we had gotten. They were supposed to come back and actually sit down with us. And in 2 years later, actually a year and a half later in April, they hadn't done that. But what they did tell me was that it was completed and they were going to mail it to me. 2 weeks went by, I never received it, so I reached back out, and then they said that they had to have one more internal review. And it wasn't until August, from April to August, that I actually received it. Mm-hmm.
I might add that it appears that the EPA, that the bureaucracy itself has shown really malfeasance in the prosecution of their job, in that here we are 10 years into the very same situation. There's been no real addressing of the safety and health aspect to the tribal people. They're talking exactly what they were talking 10 years ago, some parts per billion, another dioxin. And I would suggest through this bureaucratic malfeasance, it has really allowed for, in a very real sense, corporate murder. Our tribal people are dying because there's lack of action on behalf of the bureaucracy to make the various industries and culpable people responsible.
Sounds like bureaucratic genocide.
It's bureaucratic genocide, and I don't think there's any other term, unfortunately.
I mean, when you have, you know, our people are humans, right?
Of course.
So even if we took the Native American aspect out of it for a moment, we're people, we're human beings. And if the federal government, or any government for that matter, has a job to do, mandated by the federal government, even down through the states and the towns, you know, they're supposed to protect our human health and our environment, which we live in. And to willfully not do that, it is a crime, right? And so then it becomes a crime, and then it becomes a crime, as Chief Perry just stated. It's, you know, it becomes corporate genocide. And, you know, they, by the willingness to not act in their proper way, you know, they become a part of that. If this would have happened in Saddle River or some other place that was more affluent, this would have been addressed a long time ago. And it isn't until now where you have northern New Jersey becoming this place where tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, and in Vernon, a million people a year come to vacate. You know, it wasn't an issue before. And now we're having the opportunity to actually voice ourselves to get it out there. It is a major concern.
One of the things that drew me to the meeting on March 1st was an article that appeared in the Bergen Records, actually two of them, which indicated that there was a new pollutant that had turned up in the testing and that, in fact, had spread to areas where it was not expected to be spread to. Can you speak to that for a moment?
Yes, this is a great question. We were told, well, we were not told, what they had found in August.
Of last year,
2015. What we were told was we needed to have a CAG meeting because they wanted to go over some water sample results. So when the Record picked the story up, they contacted the EPA. They asked them questions. The EPA told them that it was about benzene. The EPA did not tell them that it was about 1,4-dioxane. So when that newspaper article was written, you know, the heat started to be put on, and then all of a sudden I requested the water reports from the EPA, which they did send, and it was, I have to tell you, it was like a book. So at the meeting that we had on the 1st, what we found was that, and they were saying that, okay, you know, the EPA is apologizing to the Ramapo Lenape Nation because they should have told us before the 100 days when they first heard of the 1,4 dioxin being found. The truth of the matter is, when we were there, and as well as you were, to our shock and dismay, was that they showed us a PowerPoint presentation where they actually found it in April of 2015, which is nearly 365 days ago. And the federal government has an obligation to give us that information so that we can do what we need to do for ours to protect ourselves.
And you might note that due to the lack of federal recognition, we have not been allowed or not had the capacity to provide for the health and welfare of our people. And indeed, had this fiasco of death, this macabre march of the EPA, would not have happened had we gotten federal recognition. But there again, that's an entire another story of avarice and greed by those more interested in casinos than in human life. But it
certainly is a story that needs to be told. And I want to thank both of you for being here. We're nowhere near done, but I think it goes without saying that when you see incident after incident, as you've described so far, and I'm sure there's more to it, I don't want to hear about it this morning, it becomes quite apparent the only way this is going to be stopped is by people banding together.
That's correct.
People joining hands together from all walks of life and all special interests and all political persuasions to realize this is about the earth. And it's about the people who live on this earth. And we cannot continue to kill our planet without killing our people. This is Vic Morata Show on WTBQ, and I'm sitting this morning with Chief Dwayne Perry of the Lenni Lenape Ramapo and with Clan Chief Vincent Mann. And I want to thank you. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us for more.
Talking with Steve Chicory of Hudson Valley Office Furniture in Poughkeepsie and Newburgh. Steve, why the wow guys?
Well, we noticed it was a constant first-time reaction. When people come into our store, you would show them the inventory, they would see everything we had here, and their first reaction was always, wow.
There really is no other word to describe it when you see the selection for the first time. It's pretty overpowering.
It is. In the Poughkeepsie store, when we take customers up in our elevator and the doors open up and all of a sudden they see 300 desks or 1,000 chairs or 500 file cabinets, the only reaction is wow.
Steve, here at Hudson Valley Office Furniture, it looks like you have enough inventory for any office anywhere.
New or used, any price range that you want. We've even designed an office for 125 employees out in San Francisco. He chose to come to us because we can do anything that you need in the office furniture business. We made them say wow, and if you come in and visit us in Poughkeepsie or Newburgh, we'll make you say wow as well.
It's easy to see how we'll make you say
Hudson Valley Office Furniture.
Wow. TheWowGuys.com.
When my construction company has a tight deadline, I need a contract bond fast. That's why I work with Selective. With their Contractor Express program, I can pre-qualify for bonds for many of my smaller jobs in just a few minutes.
Selective. Response is everything. For quick and easy bond solutions, visit Selective.com.
Small contract bond and no hassle. That works for me.
This is Garrett Derlin from Seeley & Derlin Insurance. For quick and affordable contract bond needs, contact us at 845-986-1177.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
This is Garrett Derlin from Seeley & Derlin Insurance. To create your custom business insurance solution, contact us at 845-986-1177.
Gary, why aren't you outside enjoying the party?
Hey, Michelle. It's this heartburn.
When it hits, it really hits hard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's it. I've had it. I'm going to kick acid with Rolaids.
Rolaids Advanced goes to work instantly for powerful relief of your worst heartburn, bloating, and gas.
Wow, you're packed fast.
Yeah, I feel much better. Now this is a party.
Kick acid and gas with Rolaids Advanced.
Hi, this is Dan Castricone. Join me every Thursday at 12:30 for the Dan Castricone Radio Show. We'll take your phone calls, have exciting guests, talk about current events, maybe a little politics. Thursdays at 12:30 on WTBQ. Radio worth listening to. WTBQ.
Welcome back to the Vic Morano Show on WTBQ. And we are very fortunate this morning to have with us Chief Dwayne Perry of the Ramapo Lenape Native Americans, and also Turtle Clan Chief Vincent Mann, also of the Ramapo Lenape people. And so if I could, I'd like to pick up where we left off, Chief Mann. Tell us a little bit about the role that the town of Ringwood played in this.
Well, the town of Ringwood legally is a responsible party. The town had authorized the disposal of that toxic waste into those mine shafts and onto the open land and around the houses. And so by them becoming a responsible party, it's very difficult for us to be able to get the help that we need, just like over in the town of Ramapo, New York. Because the town was not a responsible party, the town of Ramapo went to Ford and said, you're going to do this. And matter of fact, they're doing full remediations over there and not here where people are
living.
What
do you mean by full remediations?
They are removing all toxic soil. They are removing paint sludge. They are removing trees, brush, anything that would have been in contact with that.
Has Ringwood done any of that on the Jersey side?
There has been. The difference for me, and should be not just for myself, but for all mankind, is that if you have an area where there is no one living, and granted that there are municipal wells there, but if you have a place where there's municipal wells and there's no one living, what is the priority list of cleaning that completely? Over in Ringwood on the Jersey side, we have a 500-acre site that is the recharge area for the municipal wells, as well as the Wanakee Reservoir that feeds 4 million people. We're not getting that same thing there, and our people actually live in the Superfund site. One of the things that I wanted to just touch on before was that in 2013, the town of Ringwood, one of their municipal wells 2 miles away, did show a low level of 1,4-dioxane. At that point in time, given the fact that this Superfund site has been here for 50 years, not as a Superfund site, but been there, the town of Ringwood, the EPA, the DEP should have all acted. And what we're finding is that this is the same-o. You know, they'd only do what they have to do in their office. They're not here to see what needs to be done on the ground.
I see.
Well, I would just like to say a common question always is, well, if these people are living on a Superfund site, why don't they just simply move? So what I'd like to have our listeners do is to put yourself in the same place and then find out tomorrow morning their property value is worth zero.
Yeah.
Take away your corporate white-collar job and become the local garbage truck driver and the local gardener and the local gas station attendant, and then you call us up and let us know where you're going to move. There's no options. That option was taken away, and there was no concern shown or direction given either by the EPA, which is not their venue, particularly, or with the environmental justice people, or with any of the political people that we've been able to interact with in the last number of years.
What about the responsible party?
There apparently are. We would like to maybe at this time. I think there's a reluctance legally to make Ford the responsible party, but we would like to extend a hand to say, can't we sit down and figure a way to stop this corporate genocide?
I would like to throw something in there, too. And this is the truth when it comes to the Ramapo Lenape Nation. How it gets, when you ask the question of what about the responsible party, and I can guarantee you that the thought is that they want to try to make everybody believe that we are the responsible party,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Blame the victim.
That we are the ones that we have all these issues because of who we are, you know. That's one of these, part of the things that I asked when we did this study was to compare an apple to an apple. And that apple to an apple was that we had them compare And mind you, it was done by statistics. They didn't come like they said they were going to. But we had them compare Ringwood, our area, 500-acre site where 600 people lived, to the town of Ringwood, to Passaic County, to the state of New Jersey, and to the U.S.
What did that show?
Well, we added in one more place,
okay,
which was Stag Hill, which is where our wolf clan is. And Ford could not get up that mountain to dump toxic waste up there. And what we found, what they found, and they just casted it off, was that there was a doubling. So statistically, you know, they might have said, well, there's only one in this, and that's no big deal. But when you looked at the hard numbers, there was a doubling of all these health issues, which does make it a priority, or it should make it a priority.
And also, I think it's important to note that when they did the study area, they feloniously increased the number of people being tested to dilute the actual numbers of people being affected by the dioxins.
Now, didn't I hear you say earlier that there were four or five of these kinds of statistical analysis that had been done over time?
Absolutely.
Did you note any major change? You just mentioned a doubling of. Is that where that number comes from?
No, it's always been there.
Well,
it's right from the very beginning it was there? Yeah.
Maybe Vinny can explain it. They intentionally enlarged the numbers so that it would fit within their priority.
Sure. Diluted.
Which means that they don't have a priority.
Right.
Right. And so the only thing that's changed in any of it was when we were involved in the last one. And basically the cover letter that they had sent me said, Chief Mann, while we know that your health issues and health concerns come from the Ringwood Mines landfill site, we cannot say without question that this is the reason why you have these issues. We can't say this is the reason why you have these elevated issues.
Well, what other reasons might there be?
Well, it's very simple, right? If you have people that never worked a day in their life, I'm not saying us, but if just a scenario, if you had people that never worked a day in their life and they had all these health issues, that would be the first thing that the EPA would look at. Where did these people work, right? So let's say we did not work at the Ford Motor Company. Let's say that we just lived off the land like we traditionally would have. So the next thing to look at would be the environment. Now, if you find that in that environment that you're living in is a toxic wasteland created by a corporation, then that's where you would go. And it's not our job is to be able to find the money to get scientists to do all this testing. That's not our job. That is the responsibility of the EPA to tell us who to go to, whether it's the ATSDR, the CDC, or whoever. And it's their job to go get the money from the corporate polluter, which is Ford.
You mentioned the ATSDR twice, and I don't know what that means. And so could you help me with it, please?
The ATSDR is the health, they're the health organization that is attached to the CDC. Just like it's the federal.
Is it a federal bureaucracy?
Right. And it's just like the New Jersey Department of Health and Senior Services.
Is for New Jersey.
Is New Jersey. ATSDR is for the federal level.
Well, as a matter of fact, as we move toward the closure of this half hour, it gives me an opportunity to bridge into the fact that joining us after the news on WTBQ Vic Morata Show, we'll have Kathleen Moskin, a very well-known and well-credentialed nurse practitioner, and I believe that we're going to get into this issue a lot more in the second part of the show.
Right.
So, at any rate, I think at this point in time, I heard what you said. I want to follow up on one last quick question before the break, and that is, have you ever had the opportunity, you, the Lenape Ramapo, as a tribe or as a clan, had the opportunity to sit down with principals of the Ford Company to, in fact, explore the subject that you mentioned, Chief Perry, of trying to work, and Chief Mann, trying to work out something to solve this health problem?
Absolutely not, and I would like to, a lot of people's concerned about this lawsuit. I want to be extremely clear. The Tribal Council, the Ramapo Lenape, are in no way interested in that lawsuit. We were not involved in that lawsuit. And from what we've been able to ascertain, if you look at psychological operations around the world, the only thing that happened in that lawsuit was the over-abuse of the Native American population, again, to prevent those people liable from being called to do. There's the lawsuit was a giggle, I'm sure, in the courts of justice, and certainly a biggie in the banks of attorneys.
as it usually is.
But we had no, and we have to this moment had no real interaction with the principals about health and safety issues.
And I'd like to follow him as well. We are considered a environmental justice community who has been adversely impacted by Ford's dumping and the town of Ringwood's willingness to allow them to do so. We have tried for over 2 years to get the head person for the state of New Jersey's environmental justice, Rashay Outlaw. And, you know, she's gone down to all the other areas that are south of us, has answered the phone calls, goes there and physically stands there and speaks and helps them. What that would have done for us, had the state of New Jersey enforced her to come, would have allowed us to access maybe health care, maybe would have allowed us to access some other things, you know, that we haven't been able to do.
Okay. Well, I just want to say thank you for the first segment. For myself, it's been extremely educational, and I hope our listeners feel the same way. This is the Vic Morata Show on WTBQ, and in fact, we will be back after the news with another guest who will speak to the issue of the actual impact on the health and the lives of the people in the Ramapo Lenape clan. Join us soon. Welcome back to the Vic Morata Show on WTBQ. As a matter of fact, as we promised in the earlier segment, we do have a party joining us who has a lot of information about the health situation, and apparently that person hasn't arrived at the studio yet, is en route. So I'd like to, if I may, welcome you back, and let's go back to where we were at the end of the last session. Mrs. Moskin will join us as soon as she arrives. So, gentlemen.
So we were talking about environmental justice, and you know, we did have a gentleman from the EPA, from the environmental justice coordinator from them, who came and spoke with us. And it was because of his words that came from his mouth that is why I had asked them to compare apples to apples and not apples to oranges.
Mm-hmm.
What it seems like to me is that, I had mentioned it before, you know, if we're up here in the northern New Jersey in the Ramapo Mountains, where we've resided for the last 30,000 years, you know, and they want to kind of keep that quiet. And now the Highlands came out last year with a YouTube video, and it showed, you know, they talked about how pristine northern New Jersey was and Ramapo Mountains, and because of the Highlands Act and, you know, in protecting the environment and protecting the water. And my understanding is that, you know, this watershed is the largest watershed this side of the Mississippi River. And unfortunately, all of these things flow from the 500-acre Superfund site down to the Wanacue Reservoir. That does feed 4.1 million people. So when Senator Menendez, Senator Booker, Senator Pallone, Senator Garrett, or Congressman Garrett, and all of those are showing up in New Jersey talking about, you know, lead in the water at the schools or Superfund areas down there, that's all well and good. Those people are getting their water from northern New Jersey. You're not going to be getting kids licking the walls to get lead paint anymore. They try to use those things to make people think that the water is not any issue. I'm not saying that it is without question, but I'm saying that the water could be an issue. And if 4 million people cannot drink water, that's a lot of trucks to bring in bottled water.
There is sure, go ahead, Chief.
I was going to say, not only has now the Superfund site turned into a Superfund site of health for the entire northern New Jersey, I would say because of the magnitude of what happened and because of we now need to seriously bond together as human beings and stand up for the environment and stand up for Mother Earth and cure this. It's not going to be resolved by a handful of poor Native Americans screaming in the dark the way we've been doing for the last 50 years. So let me invite each and every one of you to join us, and in July 24th, we'll get back with the information, Food and Water Watch. We're going to do a big march in Philadelphia at the Democratic National Convention. We're going to invite all of you to join with the Ramapos to stand up for our earth. Thank you.
Go ahead. You're finished?
Yes, finished.
I want to go back to the comment that you made, Chief Mann, and I think there's a large body of scientific and environmental information that demonstrates that the area that you folks live in, the area I live in Vernon, and the areas in northern New Jersey have been preserved because they, in fact, are the headwaters or the provider of water for almost the entire state of New Jersey south of this area.
That's correct.
And your point was well taken that right now, you know, I remember from back in the days of the Raynon battle in Vernon, and, mm-hmm. and we were told, oh, it's okay. It's just you know, it's a little radium in the dirt. It's not going to hurt you. The fact of the matter is that the DEP in New Jersey at that time, and I think still the EPA and the DEP, maintains an attitude of dilution is the solution mm-hmm. to pollution. And that may very well be good science. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But what I do know is when I see an increasing incidence, an increasing amount of these kinds of toxins getting into places like the Wanacue Reservoir and like the wells that feed the people in that feed the town of Ringwood itself, at some point in time, it definitely won't be us. It may not be our children, and it may not be our grandchildren. But ultimately, when that water source is totally poisoned by industrialists who have no conscience about the things that they have done in the past. And in some cases, there were no laws. And so how can you hold somebody responsible if there wasn't a law and so they weren't breaking it? Well, let me just finish the point.
Sure.
It has been said in many financial magazines and articles throughout that water in the world will be the next oil.
Absolutely.
And if you look at what's happening, okay, there are private companies that are buying up water systems everywhere because they know that it's pure gold as they go forward. I do believe that our guest has arrived. Is that so? So I'd like to, if I may, just interrupt for just a second and bring in Kathleen Moskin.
Old Warwick Bookshop now has two locations, the original located in Warwick and now the new Gingerbread Shop in Greenwood Lake at 89 Windermere Avenue. Enter and you are taken to lands far and near, mysteries to solve, bestsellers to read, and the Kitty Corner, where every Sunday there's a themed story time at 11 a.m. to enchant the children. For the adults, Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop will pick one of the books from the New York Times bestseller list and then meet to discuss your opinions on each of the books. Coming soon, Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop will have evening poetry readings and local artists will be displaying their works. I took my daughter to Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop. It's so inviting that my daughter sat on the little cushion and just grabbed a book off the shelf and started reading. Upstairs are comfy chairs surrounded by classic books to take your imagination on a journey all over the world. Visit the newest Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop at 89 Windermere Avenue in Greenwood Lake or visit their website at yeoldwarwickbookshop.com.
Owning and caring for a home comes with a lot of to-dos. Tune up the furnace, clean the gutters, remodel the kitchen. Whatever your home improvement need, Home Advisor can help you find a pro you can trust to get the job done right. Go to updateyourhome.homeadvisor.com for instant access to top-rated pros in your area, including electricians, handymen, plumbers, whatever type of home pro you need. Home Advisor is absolutely free. At Home Advisor, you don't have to search through a long list of pros. With just a few clicks, Home Advisor matches you with pros who provide the exact service you need. You can read customer reviews of the pros, even use the cost guide to find out what hundreds of other home projects cost in your area. And because Home Advisor knows it's important to find a pro you can trust in your home, they conduct background checks of their service professionals. It's just one of the reasons more than 25 million homeowners use Home Advisor. Go to updateyourhome.homeadvisor.com. That's updateyourhome.homeadvisor.com.
This is Sister Anna. Listen to The Garden of the Child, a story discussion time with students. Story develops listening skills and imagination. Saturdays at 11:10 a.m. on WTBQ.
Ferrari down low.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series is on the Motor Racing Network.
The king of Phoenix International Raceway continues to reign. Kevin Harvick's going to win for the seventh time.
NASCAR heads west to Phoenix for the Good Sam 500, Sunday at 2:30 p.m. on the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR.
Brought to you every week by Vogel & Moore Insurance and Dawson Motors.
WTBQ. Welcome back to the Vic Morata Show on WTBQ, and I want to welcome Mrs. Kathleen Moskin. Kathleen is a family nurse practitioner and a nursing educator at the Ramapo College of New Jersey Nursing Programs. She's currently completing her doctorate at Rutgers University as a doctorate of nursing practice. She's in private practice in Ringwood, New Jersey, has a familiarity with the health concerns of the Ramapos that come to her. Of more concern to Kathleen has been the fact that many members of the community cannot assess proper health care. Welcome, Kathleen. We're happy to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Victor.
It's really a pleasure. I'd like to, if I can, pick up quickly, Chief Mann, where we were discussing the data that's been provided to you. So go ahead.
Approximately 2 years ago, we were approached by NYU and Dr. Zelikoff. And so over the last 2 years, myself, Vivian Milligan, Valerie Gunn, Melissa DeLeon, Janet Saylor, Kathleen, we have worked together to actually create a health study. That health study is not a health study that is just for us. It is also for any other residents of the area to be included in that as well. Kathleen can go into that a little bit more.
Well, what I'd like to say is in gathering information prior for healthcare concerns, that was done after the Mann versus Ford lawsuit and settlements there, much of that information was actually lost to the community. And community members there were very reticent to say, listen, you know, we talked to people, we gave information, and nothing came of it really significantly for the community. So what Dr. Zelikoff is doing and her team from NYU Environmental Medicine is that they have developed a survey which is really regarding perceptions of health concerns in their community. And from this, the information will be statistically analyzed, as it always is. And as a result of that, the community will then be open to deciding if they would like further intervention in terms of toxicology studies. There is opportunities to be wearing monitoring bracelets, and looking at what might still be current exposures that these people are facing. So far to date, it's been fairly well accepted by the community. There's a goal that hopefully by the end of late spring that we'll have enough numbers of people that are involved in this, and then we can move forward. But it would be the first health survey that's actually owned by the community itself.
And as I understand it, this work that you do, treating the Lenape, and you've melded it into your doctoral thesis, is that right?
Well, to some degree, but let me clarify that. One of the things is when I first started getting involved with the community, it was because I saw patients of the community in Upper Ringwood, the Ramapos, coming to private practice. And what I noted was is the older people who had many comorbidities, had insurance for Medicare or disability insurance, but there was a lack of primary care prevention, physicals, visits by younger people. And as I started discovering and became immersed within the community, it was because of lack of insurance, a huge distrust for anybody that's come into the community to try to figure out what's wrong in the community. And so little by little, I made it a goal to immerse myself and to develop a trust for no other reason that I can leave a life legacy when my days are done, that there was something I could do to help empower the community to not believe that this just all has to be bad stuff, that there's a way that they can turn around things for themselves. When I identified the community members, of course, we've got all of the elders who were dying. I do want to mention, if it hasn't already been mentioned, that there is definitely a decreased life expectancy that was observed after the Ford dumping. And Vivian Milligan, who is a community elder that took an interest and pride in her community with the work of Dr. Janet Saylor, a physicist who's well accepted in the community and friend and dedicated helper, they actually made a graph, just very raw data from death records at the church. And it was very clear that people are dying since the Ford dumping at much younger ages.
Can you give us an idea as to what those ages are?
Well, actually, when we were seeing people at living pre-dumping to 80, 90, 100 years old, living off their land, eating very healthy food, what has happened now, and Chief Mann may even identify with it, at his age, he's an elder. So we're
Chief, how old are you?
I'm 48 years old.
Is that a correct? You're an elder in the tribe at this point?
Yeah, pretty close.
And if I don't mean, I know it's personal, but Chief Perry?
Well, I'm a little older. I'm 68.
Oh, you're not that old. We're the same age.
Exactly. But I don't live on the site itself.
I see.
Want to note that.
Okay.
And just before we go on, mm-hmm. I just want to make it very clear, not only to our tribal members who are listening, but to the greater community, that we are referencing Ringwood, and the reason why we're referencing Ringwood is because it is a Superfund site and because we have a CAG. What we are not referencing is the fact that Ford also did this on our people in the Wolf Clan, which is in Mahwah, New Jersey, and also in Hilburn, New York. So we want everybody to know that this is...
Just not about the Turtle Clan.
No, it's not just about...
It's about our tribe.
Yes, it's the entire tribe.
I'd also, if I may, I would like to... invite all the listeners to really take to heart to what Kathleen is saying, because what has now happened to the Ramapos is as corporately is turning everyone else in the state into Indians.
Yeah. Wow.
And
wow.
Just to follow up with what Kathleen had asked was that basically we've had since the Ford dumping till not even till present, we're talking maybe 2009, is that we've had a decrease in life expectancy in Ringwood. By 40 years.
40 years?
Yes.
The average lifespan in the general population is what? How many years?
From in 80s and 90s, and even we had an aunt, Ann, and she lived to be 104, I believe. Mm-hmm. Now we're losing people in the age from 10 years old all the way up to probably averaging 50 to 60.
Well, that was one of the things that I wanted to say, that we do see elderly patients with multiple comorbidities, including diabetes, heart
morbidity.
Disease.
Morbidity. I don't mean to be rude, but
oh, I'm
tell,
sorry.
Our, tell our Mor- audience.
The word morbidity means sick. The word mortality means you're dead. And so we have patients people that are dealing with what has not been significantly statistically correlated, but higher incidence of diabetes, heart disease, asthma, chronic pain issues, and cancer. But more importantly is we're looking at younger members of this community who are either people who ate the paint sludge or their children, and they're dealing with miscarriages, many, many emotional learning disabilities. And the psychological disabilities that come from living in a situation of discrimination has... these children dealing with a lot of system bullying and discrimination wears on students who are struggling to get an education, and many of them leave school without the tools to manage these stressors, and a lot of subsequent drug and alcohol abuse occurs. Not unlike most communities, but in this case, I think the resources that don't seem to be present and available to them are not there. There's a lot of reason why the younger groups are not seeking primary prevention. It has to do with poverty, lack of transportation, definitely distrust. There is a huge awareness of discrimination that's been for hundreds of years, and a lack of healthcare insurance, which, of course, a lot of people are dealing with now. The health issues that have been identified, in my estimation, have not been adequately correlated or validated. Many of the census information that has been collected, reports from DEA, New Jersey Department of Health, are in doubt because many of the community say they didn't contribute directly to this information. And so I think that what the information we has and that we are gathering now is really self-reported. And I think pretty soon it's going to be an issue of, like, saying, listen, these are the facts we have coming from the mouth of the people who are or have been affected by this. originally. A lot of information that was collected during the lawsuit back in 2008 disappeared. So we have very limited information except that which was fundamentally and rudimentally obtained by church records. I wanted to say something about the Friends of the Ramapos. And likely Chief Perry and Mann have mentioned this, that there are a lot of groups sympathetic to this community since the 60s and 70s, and they're continuing to support this. But Victor, even the opportunity to bring voice to this plight here on the radio, I think is an extremely important step forward to communicate injustice. I was thinking about this driving home today, and I said to myself, you know, astronaut Kelly was up in his space station and came down, and after looking at the Earth for a year, he said that it was so sad to him to listen to what's happening and that we can do better. And I think that doing better doesn't mean just in Ringwood. I think it means in all the surrounding communities here, and we can keep it local enough, but your listening audience may know very little about what's happening in Ringwood, and I think it's important that this is a venue to bring that out.
Can I
yeah, go right ahead.
Real quick. I would just like to reiterate what Chief Perry had said earlier in the first half, was that all of the things, absolutely everything that Kathleen had just stated, if we were, in fact, if we did have our federal recognition and recognized truly for who we are, we would not have probably 80 to 90% of the issues that we're faced with today, because we would be able to actually do the things that are not being done ourselves.
Chief? I'm sorry. And I would like to, on that, I would like to challenge our elected officials here in New Jersey and indeed the President of the United States to ask, where was the systemic breakdown and why when in Missouri, when they sprayed the roads with PCB, the community was instantly relocated, taken care of, health and welfare doing. We are now in 10 years of corporate genocide, and no one seems to have the moral interpretude to stand up and be human. We need help, gentlemen, and we need it now.
I would echo your concerns, Chief.
I wanted to say a little bit something about what we're doing right now. And again, this is just a baby project. It's rudimentary, but over the last 2 years, I sponsored two health annual fairs at the Community Room of Good Shepherd Church in Ringwood. This particular church is right next to the community, and they, you know, it's their social gathering place. It's taken a long time to build trust, and I'm happy to say that my belief is that the trust is growing, and the community is attempting to be more proactive in caring for their health concerns. Just a couple examples, and I'll finish up on that, but the children's camp this past summer happened as a result of a Melissa DeLeon, who's a member of the community and on the vestry, the board of directors of the church. She ran a two-day camp, summer camp for the young children last August, and was very successful bringing in the fire department, police department, ambulance to demonstrate to the young children how these people were our friends. And the kids were thrilled. The second afternoon revolved around healthy eating and nutrition. Melissa and I were able to gain some financial support to purchase items to the West Mill from the West Milford's Farmers Market and set up displays at the church so the children could take home new fruits and vegetables to their home. And even a graduate of the Culinary Institute worked to create fruit arrangements and, you know, have the children begin to understand. Okay, I'm just finally saying the most important thing is we have, and we can discuss this maybe at another time, but Ramapo College and Good Shepherd have an initiative which has now introduced an entire semester-long program with fitness, nutrition, mommy and babies, et cetera, et cetera. And we're considering this a beta test. So once we evaluate successes and improvements, we're hoping that this innovation will be able to spread to the Wolf and Deer Clan, and we can move these self-help provider within the community health initiatives.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. Chief Mann?
I just wanted to basically get a statement out and towards the end here. I just want to say that as a Native American nation, you know, we will continue. It will continue to be our obligation to the larger community and to our Mother Earth to continue this fight, whether or not we are helped by those who can. And that is that, you know, all Native, and it shouldn't just be all Native, but all of our relations, no matter which color they are, no matter where they are, you know, it's our obligation to be able to pass this on forward in a clean environment.
Well said. I want to thank my guests this morning, Chief Perry, Chief Mann, Ms. Moskin. This has been a very enlightening show for me, and I sure hope that the listeners out there have found it informative. We're not done with this issue, ladies and gentlemen. We will continue to visit this issue and issues like it on the Vic Marotta WTBQ show. It's been my pleasure. I hope you enjoyed the premiere edition. And hopefully next week, if any of you who are listening and have questions, whatever the topic is, which we'll announce as we get on to the early part of next week, use the phone. Ask questions. This is where you can get answers. Thank you to WTBQ, our sponsors, and our guests.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Victor.